As always, it's so good to be with you. How are we doing, church? Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to spring forward 1 hour next weekend? Did that sound good? Oh, I like that. Well, we're in the season of Lent, but we're also, today, we enter into a subset of Lent, which is called the Scrutinies. Scrutinies will take place for the next 3 weeks. They primarily have benefit for those that we call the elect, those candidates and catechumens who are in our midst, and they are many, which is a wonderful thing. It's a time of examination and preparation, but it's also for the assembly as well. It's for all of us to examine our lives, and that's really the part, that's what Lent is all about, isn't it? Making preparation for the Lord's coming so that we can receive him with open arms. Well, one of the things that's really important in scrutinies is the primacy of God's Word. God's Word is that which we evaluate ourselves. That's how we scrutinize ourselves. That's how we look at ourselves. And primarily, of course, the whole Scripture, but primarily there's the two primary parts of the Scriptures which are very important are the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. Those are the two that are looked upon very highly, and of course the whole God, all the Holy Scripture is, but those are very important. I want us to focus this morning a few moments on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And what I want to ask you is, as we go through this, that you evaluate your own life and say, how am I doing in terms of living the Ten Commandments? I think that's really the big question. God's Word. I like to think of God's Word. It's his love letter to us. That's what it is. It's his revelation. Now, you got to remember something. God didn't have to reveal himself to you. He didn't have to make himself known so you can understand what God's like and how we are to live and all those kinds of things. He did it because he loves you. So when I read the Scriptures, I read a love letter. That's God saying, I love you. And here's how this love works. This is the love in action. And it's a beautiful story. And it goes all the way and extends even into eternity. Many in the Scriptures talk about the love of God's Word. What it is, illustrations, and how beautiful and powerful it is. People who walk very closely to God. I take that seriously. And somebody that's a saint, I'm going to take it seriously when they put such emphasis on the Word. One who did that was David. And a lot of the Psalms are written actually about God's Word. Do you know the longest Psalm? The 119th Psalm is the longest Psalm. It's all about God's Word. That's all it's about. And he takes the Hebrew alphabet, and he goes through it letter by letter, and he explains a portion of God's Word. It's fascinating, is what it is. But I like what he said in Psalm 19. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The ordinances of the Lord are true. All of them are just. They are more precious than gold, than a heap of purest gold, sweeter than syrup or honey from the comb. Isn't that beautiful? That's quite a statement, actually, that he's making. But some of those beautiful imagery, gold, honey from the comb, so many beautiful things that we see in it. And that's how we're to approach God's Word. It's like gold. It's better than gold. It's better than platinum. It's better than anything because it gives us life. It teaches us. It shows us who God is, how God loves us, and how we are to walk in this life in order to have relationship with him, ourselves, and others. Well, let's go back to the Ten Commandments because that's one of the prime teachings of God. First thing I like to remember when we think about embracing the Ten Commandments is that God wrote it with his finger. If you study the book where God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, what does he do? He writes it with his finger on a tablet of stone. He writes it out. Then he cuts it out of the stone, and he gives it to Moses. Isn't that cool? He didn't have to look at any notes either. He just was able to write it down because he knew what was in his heart and what needed to take place. Well, it's several thousand years old now. Is it still relevant? Is it? Some people say it's not. I'd say this group here would say it is relevant. And you're right. It truly is. The Ten Commandments, the thing that's really important about them as we think about the scrutinies is how we are to relate to one another, how that we love one another. If you look at it, the first three commandments are about relating to God. That's what they are. The other seven are about relating to each other. It's God's way of saying, this is how you're to live. What does he say? Well, in the first one, he says, you are to have no other gods before me. That's number one. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. I appreciate you doing that today. I appreciate you being here. And you're making our Sabbath. Sabbath here is the Saturday, but it's Sunday for us Christians. But it's a holy day. And I appreciate you being here. You're following God's commandments because you love him and he loves you. Those are the three of towards God. Then it's honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. That's it. And these commandments have withstood the test of time, and rightfully so, because they are pure. They are unequivocal. They are eternal. Now, being the inquisitive person that I am, sometimes I like to know, God, why did you pick these 10 and not others? Why these 10? Why are these so important? If you think about the commandments this way, it'll revolutionize your thinking about God's word. It truly will. Let me share with you a little illustration. God created you for love. God is your creator, and he created you for love. And we express that love to its fullest extent when we live according to how he created us. And that's what his word's about. That's what Revelation's about. This I created you, God says, you're mine. And here's how you're to live if you want to live full. If you want to live a life of love. That's what everybody in here wants to do, isn't it? Don't you want to live a life of love? My gosh, yeah. Well, follow his word. This really came home to me when I was a design engineer. In my prior life, you know, before I became a priest, I was a design engineer. And what we did is we designed cranes. You know, you'll go down a construction site and you'll see a big crane out there lifting stuff. Well, that's what I did. I designed those. And one year we decided, well, we're going to create a new model. We're going to create a new crane, a whole new series, actually, of cranes. And that's what we did. What did we do? We created it. We created it, came out of our minds, didn't it? Put it on sepia, you know, made blueprints, took it out to the shop, they cut it and put it all together. That's what we did. But after we had done that and after we tested it, the engineering manager or the director of engineering came up to me and said, Dave, I'd like for you to write the operator's manual for this crane. I want you to write how it works. Oh, that was an interesting challenge. I said, okay, I'll try. You know, I'd spent a lot of time on it, on the crane. I understood some of it, but it helped me to understand something. Follow the instructions. You know, here's this creation, something that you know, a group of engineers have created. Now, follow the instructions, because if you don't, you'll get in trouble. You ever, don't extend a boom 150 feet out in the air and try to pick up more than it can pick up at that length or at that angle. Because if you do, guess what? It's going to crash. Follow the instructions. And that was one of the places where I really got the connection. You and I are God's creation. He has given us His Word. He's revealed Himself. He's made us known, made it known to us. Follow it. And you'll work. You'll work properly. Well, one of the major challenges that is facing us today in embracing such wonderful truths, because we're so intellectual as a culture today, it's called moral relativism. You ever heard of it? Well, what is it? Moral relativism is the belief that truth is relative to how we interpret it. There is no absolute truth. Truth is how we interpret it, particularly in the context of the situation. You can interpret it one way in this situation, one way in that situation. In other words, absolute truth doesn't exist. Well, that's baloney. Now, that's what we believe today because we're so intellectual. But it doesn't work. There are absolute truths, and the Word of God is absolute truth. And it's sort of like with the manual. When we don't read the manual, guess what? We mess up. We got to stay with the manual. It reminds me of another story. I remember one year I was had this car and I wanted to wax it. You ever get out and wax your car? Yeah, boy, it looks good. Oh, I was full of energy that day. I'm going to make this car look beautiful. So I go downtown, pick up some turtle wax, bring it back, put it under the tree, and start putting it on. Start with the hood, rubbing it in, letting it dry, and then I'd wipe it off, and it just shine. It looked so pretty. Then I went to the trunk. You know, I'd rub in the turtle wax, let it dry. Then I would buff it off. Oh, it looks so pretty. Then I went to the hood, and I put it on, let it dry, and I tried to rub it off, and it wouldn't come off. There was a big white haze on. It looked terrible. Any of you done that? No? Well, you're smart. Last night, I got a lot of grins. You've done it too, haven't you? Yeah. I didn't read the instructions. What'd I do? I just put it on. But then I went back to the instructions. It said, do not put turtle wax on car hood if engine has been running. It will ruin the finish. It's too late then. So I drove around that beautiful car with the hood looked just terrible. But I learned something that day. Read the instructions. I'm really good about reading instructions nowadays. Always have and always will after that. But that's sort of like moral relativism. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I think my situation, I'm going to do it my way. And that's what's going to be done. Well, a lot of times your way will screw up. It really will. It's not in sync with God's word. Remember, your authority is God's word. And it is truth. It is absolute truth. That's your authority, not your opinion. Culture today, and I think it's because we've got these overheated egos, is like, well, I'll make my own decision and I'll decide what I want to do. Well, you can do that. But you can also screw up in doing that. You know, we can't follow a culture today that has a naive confidence in love. Today, love is love. That's all that matters. No, it's not. Well, I'm married. But I love this woman that's not my wife. I love her. I'm going to love her. No, you're not. What did God say? You shall not commit adultery, didn't he? Do you see, love has boundaries. For love to be love, it has boundaries. You got to realize that, don't you? You can't just go out on your own and do your own thing. Another thing that we look at has to do with following Jesus' example about the commandments. You know, I cannot find one instance in the scriptures where Jesus threw out any of the commandments. I can't find one. You know, I really can't. You might be able to help me to find one, but I really can't. And you know why that is? Well, it's because Jesus dealt with the way we were made. And the way we were made is what we find revealed in the scriptures. That's exactly what it is. You're not an obsolete model. You're not. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Did Jesus take God's name in vain? How many times have you read that? You ever read that? Did Jesus lift up God's name? You ever read that? Well, I don't think we ought to be throwing that commandment out. Did Jesus disrespect his mother? Did he holler at her and shout at her? I don't remember that. Did he honor her? Absolutely, he honored her, didn't he? Can't throw honor your mother and father out. Did Jesus kill anybody? You know of him killing anybody? I can't think of any. Did Jesus affirm life? Well, all the time, didn't he? I guess thou shalt not kill still applies today, doesn't it? Did Jesus support adultery? You know of any instances where he did, said it's okay? Well, no. Did he support marriage? Absolutely. Well, I guess that'll have to stay too then. Do you ever see Jesus steal something? You ever see him lie? You ever see him covet something? I haven't, you know. He's not rewriting the commandments, is he? But did he give freely? And did he tell the truth? Absolutely. We can't throw those commandments out. Do you realize that? See, Jesus continues to model those. They are eternal. They are eternal. I think it's regrettable that the Ten Commandments have been removed from public places today. I really do. I think it's a terrible thing. You know what? Maybe our society would be in a better place today if we took the words of Paul to heart. I know it might hurt our egos, but listen to what Paul had to say. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. Think about that. Are you living the commandments today, folks? Are you living the joy of the commandments? God bless all of you and love God's word with all your heart.